for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Turn with me, if you will, please, to the book of Genesis. And we're going to read chapter 3, the whole chapter of Genesis 3. We may be in this chapter for some time. I'm not sure exactly how long, but I feel God has led me here for many different reasons, and hopefully this will be a help to us all as we come to God's Word. I've called this sermon Beginnings. You know, some beginnings are really, really great, aren't they? Some beginnings, we never want them to end. And some things we begin, we wonder why on earth we ever did. But nevertheless, Genesis, the book of beginnings, we're going to read the whole of chapter 3. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden'?" And the woman said to the serpent, "Well, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man said, the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity," that's hostility, "between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman, he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and you have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. And in pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us," us, notice, "in knowing good and evil. Now lest he reach out his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground for which he was from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Genesis chapter 3 has always been, for me and possibly for you also, one of those chapters in the Bible that just seems to have such gravitas, such weight, such a sense of incredibly deep significance. I hope that is how it strikes you this morning as we've read it. You know, one wonderful thing that the invention of advanced technology has brought us in the 21st century is, and wait for it, the superabundance of online videos of talking animals. You may have seen some of them. Maybe you'll look up some of them this afternoon. And we've come a long, long way since the 1970s, when all we had was Esther Ranson and a dog called Prince who could say sausages. Some of you may remember that. It was funny at the time. There are times when it's really funny when animals talk. But Genesis 3 is not one of them. Some people, I'm sure, would be fascinated by the prospect of having a conversation with a talking serpent. The prospect would be fascinating. How would that work? Actually talking, having a conversation with a serpent sounds even interesting. Others would even point to this chapter in the Bible as an example of why the Bible is just not believable. It's fantasy, fairy tales. Who, after all, could really believe that animals could really and actually talk? But the fact is, folks, the truth is that right up to this very moment, this world has been and is constantly listening to a serpent talk. Just not aware of it. The serpentine talk of the enemy has found its way into hearts and minds of millions of people upon the face of our planet. Millions have been shaped and are being shaped and are listening to serpent talk. And that serpent talk continues to shape them and define them and destroy them. Do animals really talk? Well, of course, we understand from Genesis this is not just any ordinary snake and, you know, one species of snake that could talk that is now extinct. We understand that there is a spiritual element, that this is indeed the devil himself speaking through a serpent. And he still speaks, and people still listen. And that's why this world is in such a state as it is this day. As we said, the name Genesis means beginnings. The book of beginnings. And what a spectacular beginning we all had. What an amazing beginning. God said, hallelujah, this spectacular beginning of it all. And God created things and made things by the word of his power. Things that we've never even seen yet, which are fabulously beautiful and magnificent. There are things in this world that we've never seen, things in the bottom of the ocean that we have never seen, that are just truly would be magnificent to be able to see. And the wonder of creation is fantastic. What a beginning. What a perfect world God created. And God saw that it was good. God saw that it was very good. You know, Stephen Fry was on RTE in February 2015. You may have had the misfortune to see this or to hear this. And in an interview with Gay Byrne, he asked Fry, who is an atheist, what would he say to God if he met him at the pearly gates when he died? And Fry answered, I'll say, bone cancer in children? What's that about? How dare you? And Fry goes on to say, this is what he would say to God. How dare you create a world in which there is such misery? That's not our fault. It's not right. It's utterly, utterly evil. Why should I respect a capricious, mean-minded, stupid God who creates a world which is so full of injustice and pain? That's what I would say. Horrible even to utter these words. But we can be sure of one thing. He will not say that. The interviewer continued, and you think you're going to get into heaven on that? No, but I wouldn't want to get in on his terms. They're wrong, Fry replied. And he goes on. And here we have the attitude of someone who has believed a lie, is being shaped by a lie, and continues to be shaped by a lie that will lead to not only his destruction in this world, but in the world to come. And I find that deeply distressing. For him, deeply distressing. And here we have the beginning of it all. It's the beginning of the end, it seems. Verse 1, now the serpent. Now this chapter is not all about the serpent, and I'm not wanting to talk too much about the serpent this morning, but he's there. And here he comes into this pristine, perfect world. And brings his poison and pollution. Here into this wonderful world, he comes and makes it to be a woeful world. The master of deception now begins with his dissection of God's word. And here we see the beginnings of belief in a lie. Notice what Satan does. And we need to be aware of this. Listen, God didn't create a world of bone cancer. God didn't create a world that was unjust. God didn't create this world as we have it. Now, the serpent. Notice what he does. Notice the first thing he says. Did God actually say, "You shall not eat of any tree in the garden"? Well, no, God didn't actually say that, did he? I'll read it again for you. Did God actually say, "You shall not eat of any tree in the garden"? Did God say that? Hello? Still with me? Did God say that? No. In fact, God's generosity is so huge and so vast that God created any new number of trees and said, "Go, help yourselves." That is the generosity and the fabulous nature of God, who gives us and gives us and gives us. But what he did say is, just stay away from that for now, okay, guys, just stay away. But everything else, it's all yours. What's Satan doing here? Well, he's not bringing an argument against God. He doesn't do that for a start. What he does, he introduces an atmosphere. You know about atmosphere. You know, there can be atmospheres, can't there? There can be an atmosphere between a couple. Maybe they've had a wee tiff. And you come into the room. And maybe you're not unaware, you're unaware of the tiff, but you come into the room and you understand that there is an atmosphere. There could be an atmosphere in a family. Could be a good atmosphere. Could be a bad atmosphere. But what is atmosphere? Atmosphere is a climate. It's a condition. Now, this is what the devil does. He introduces an atmosphere of doubt. He introduces an atmosphere where God can be questioned. We think about climate change. We think about all that thing. Well, this is the very first instance of climate change in history. How do I say that? God created a world that was good and very good and perfect. And along came the serpent. And he begins to introduce and try to change an atmosphere in the hearts and the minds of Adam and Eve, who only believed God. Their only prior experience was to love God and to trust Him. For why wouldn't they? And to honor Him and to delight to meet in His presence in the cool of the day. But now, along with the devil comes his atmosphere. He is a father of lies. And the serpent changes the climate, the atmosphere, from faith and trust in God to one of suspicion. To one of doubt. Is God holding something back from us? Is He hiding something from us? And in this atmosphere of suspicion and doubt, the first lie is sown. You see, any farmer will tell you that if you want something to grow, it needs to have the right conditions, the right atmosphere, the right climate. So first the devil has to create a climate of suspicion and doubt. in order for his lie to be believed. And you see that? And you know what? He continues to do that. He continues to do that. How many even believers have suspicions about God? Maybe we wouldn't verbalize them, or maybe we would. But even in our hearts at times we would say, why, God? I'm not so sure that God actually knows what he's doing. Does he know that I'm ill? I'm sick? Does he know that my family are in this situation? Does he know? And the enemy always wants to introduce climate change into the hearts of God's people. And it's in a fertile atmosphere of unbelief that lies can germinate and grow. So that's what he does. He doesn't say God doesn't exist. He's not going to do that. You know, atheism has never, ever been the greatest challenge to the church or to the truth. It never has been, and it never will be. Yes, atheistic states can cause havoc in the church, but atheism as an ideology is not a main challenge to the church. It just looks like it is because they're all so clever, apparently. Stephen Hawking, he's clever, isn't he? Apparently. He's really clever. He said that Christianity Christianity is just a fable, fairy tale, made up by those who are afraid of the dark. John Lennox, who is also an Oxbridge professor, brilliant Christian man, was asked for a reply and a response. And he said, well, yes, would you like a one-line response to that? And the reporter said, oh, yes, that would be lovely. And John Lennox replied, atheism is a fairy tale made up by those who are afraid of the light. You see, here we have it, people. Atmospheres. What do we believe? What is believable? And what is unbelievable? You and I have been brought to a place of belief by the Holy Spirit, who breathed into our unbelieving hearts and said, there you go, there's the gift to believe. That's the grace of God. It is by grace that you are saved. Hallelujah. Through faith. Praise God. And that not of yourselves, even your faith to believe is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So that nobody can boast. Nobody can say, hallelujah, I believed. Aren't I clever? No, because you see, the atmosphere of the human heart is disastrously dark, dank. It's dead. Unresponsive, can never respond to the living God. That's the atmosphere, the internal atmosphere of every soul that is born into this world. And it is only by the grace of God that he comes and he changes the atmosphere, the climate, the condition of our hearts by speaking and breathing faith into us. Isn't that awesome? That is the gospel. So the serpent brings his atmosphere and his change and his climate where unbelief can begin to grow. Oh, God's generosity is spurned here by Eve. God says, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. There's one. Neither shall you touch it. But God didn't say you shalln't touch it, but she said you shalln't touch it lest you die. And there now in verse 4, the atmosphere is right. The atmosphere has been created. The atmosphere and the climate is formed for the lie to be received. You shall not surely die. You would never, ever in a million years get Adam and Eve to believe that that was true. Unless there was climate change. Unless there was atmosphere change. The question for us this morning, even as believers and as we look at this unbelieving world, what are we listening to? Who are we listening to? Is the lies that go around, the lies that are out there, how come gossip is so daintily, ravagely consumed? Gossip papers. You know, what's this one do? It's ravenously devoured. Why is that? And people feed on absolute rubbish. Lies, innuendo. And here's the first lie. You'll not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You'll be like God. And here we get to the heart of it. God's keeping something back from you. He's not giving you his very, very best. But if you do this, you'll get it. And here's the clincher. You'll be like God. You'll be like God. And unless we think that this is so far-fetched, that how could anybody believe that? Just think about your own life. Before you were a Christian, and even our own lives now, what was it that stopped us coming to Christ? Oh, we may say it was our sin, we may say it was this or that or the other. At the heart of it, at the crux of it, the bottom line is this. I am in charge of my destiny. It's my life. How dare anybody tell me how I should run and live my life? That's what's at the heart of it. And when Jesus comes along, he says, I'm Lord. I'm Lord. I'm Master. I'm King. I'm Ruler. That's the thing. It's not, this sinner. It's, I want to be in charge. And doesn't that still come over even in our lives now as believers? And you say, well, no. Okay, well, then let me ask you a question. Do you ever worry? Are you ever anxious? You say, well, yeah. Now you're getting more worried. What's he going to say next? What is that? What is worry? What is anxiety? What is all of that? When you distill it all down, it's this. I'm not sure if God really knows what he's doing. I'm not sure that he knows the right answer to my predicament. I'm not sure he knows the answer to that prayer I'm praying. I'm not sure about that. Worry is a symptom of what we read here, where the devil says, you will be like God. We like to be in charge. We like to be in control. We like to know. Listen, you ever try to control people, families, children? It's like herding cats, isn't it? You'll be like God. And we still fall for the lie. We still believe the lie. And they fell for it. They fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. And some people will say, well, it was Eve's fault, wasn't it? She's the one who was deceived. And yes, it says there, she even says that I was deceived. I was deceived. And we say, well, women are more susceptible to temptation than men. That's a conclusion some people will come to. Is that right? Guys? Is that how it is? Well, if Eve sinned through deception, through not knowing, through being deceived, that's what that means, Adam sinned willfully with his eyes opened, knowing what was going on, because it says there that she took some and she ate of the fruit, and she gave some to her husband who was with her. Adam's not away somewhere, you know, doing his daily devotions or something. He's right there. He's watching. He's entering. She's being deceived. He is willfully sinning. Folks, let me bring this to a close this morning. God is the only one that can bring climate change to a heart, to a couple, to a family, to a church, to a town, to a nation, to a world. He is the only one who can do it. The question for us is, do we want that climate change? Do we want, in our heart of hearts, want, desire, long for that change of heart that says, I believe God? Don't you want to believe God more than you do? Or are you happy with your level of faith? Are you happy with your level of belief? Didn't your heart say, I want to believe Him? Lord, help my unbelief. Well, it's just as well Jesus didn't answer that prayer, because He didn't help His unbelief, He helped His belief. And isn't that what we need? A heart change, an atmosphere change, so that when the Word of God comes, we receive it. We welcome it. We devour it. We consume it. Because the atmosphere's right in the heart. The atmosphere's right for the truth. And we don't come back and say, oh, well, God, I'm not sure about this. I'm not sure about... What does that mean? Oh, well, let's turn a blind eye to that truth and let's ignore that truth. And listen, folks, there needs to be a heart change. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. That's how it comes. That's how it comes. And so as we've begun this study in Genesis chapter 3, I don't know where your heart is, and God asks the same question, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? God asks that. So where are we? God comes to us. He asks that question not because he doesn't know where we are. He knows where we are. He just wants us to admit it, that's all. To admit it, wherever it may be. God, I'm cold. God, I'm far from you. God, whatever it may be. God, I'm near you. God, I'm close to you. God, you see, if Adam was close and Eve was close, God wouldn't have to ask that question. Where are you? So God asks us this morning, where are you? Come close. Come into my presence. There's healing. There's hope. There's life there. Let my word heal you. Let my word change the atmosphere of your life, your marriage, your family, your town. Let my word do that. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we bow our heads in your presence this morning because we long for you. We long for you. And Lord, let the confession of our heart be that we long for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water, yet I long for you. I thirst for you. I hunger for you. Lord, let that be our experience. And Lord, if our heart's attitude and heart's condition and heart's atmosphere needs to be changed, then by your Spirit and by your word, change us, we pray. Let us be people who devour your word, who love your word, who humbly accept the word implanted, that we may grow. God, grant this, not only for us, but for a dying world. Help us, God, we pray, in these days of darkness, to hold forth the word of truth and the word of life. In Jesus' name.
And your love is great.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.